Blessings. It's so easy to think of the difficulties and troubles and the things that go wrong in our lives. We count them very easily, don't we? But to take a pause and reflect and to see the blessings of God that have always been there and the new blessings that are to come, to think about those. Amen. This morning, my topic is help is on the way. Help is on the way. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, beginning with the 25th verse. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And when you reach that place in Scripture, so that I know you're ready to go, say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Amen.
Amen.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbors yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he was traveling, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his holy word. Please pray with me. Blessed Redeemer, the source of all goodness, the fountain of all mercy, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Prepare our hearts for your words. Melt us, mold us, shape us, fill us, move us, so that we don't just hear the words, the concepts, the ideas, but let us feel deep down inside your love for us. Let your words penetrate and inspire us, so that we may be changed from the inside out. And may we say thanks in advance before you even answer, because your credit is good with us. Hallelujah, we praise you. Hallelujah, we thank you, for it is now being accomplished. Amen. Last Sunday, I examined one of the parables of Jesus. So if you were here, then you're probably thinking, oh no, not another parable. But I want to continue along that same vein this morning, for the pedagogy or the method of teaching that Jesus used, this telling of a story, makes spiritual lessons available to everybody. However, the parable of the Good Samaritan is a little more difficult. It presents a problem because we've heard it so many times before. For over the centuries, we Christians have heard preachers describe the Levite and the priest as responding the same way that we often do in similar situations. We cross the proverbial street and avoid giving assistance to the one wounded and in need of our help. The traditional interpretation of the Good Samaritan is a heroic figure that we should all emulate. For the Good Samaritan risked everything to help a half-dead stranger. That certainly is worthy of appropriation of this scripture and demands our attention. But I beg your indulgence if you would allow me to change our focus from the norm on this parable. What I want to do is I want to swap positions or turn the tables this morning. Instead of talking about the Good Samaritan, I want to emphasize the man lying half dead by the side of the road. Now, Jesus doesn't give us much information and very little detail about this wounded person. Jesus doesn't tell us the man's race or his socioeconomic background. Jesus doesn't say why the man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Did the man live in Jerusalem? Was he about to engage in business or pleasure, or simply returning home to Jericho? I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, but I want to know more about this man by the side of the road before I decide to help him. Jesus does not describe him as an atheist or a religious man. I want to know if he went to church often or he just worshiped on Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day, or not at all. Was he a praying man or only in a time of crisis? I want to know what his values were, the kind of life that he lived. Was he married, divorced? Was he straight or did he come out of the closet? Is he stingy or generous with his money? Does his education come from the university or from the street of hard knocks? Was he industrious? Did he bust his butt every day to take care of himself and his family? Was he on government assistance? Or was he always hustling for a quick buck? Or was he just plain lazy? You see, this man is bruised and beaten and half naked. But how was he dressed before the attack? Did he get his clothes from Target or from Nordstrom's? We all know that you can tell something about a person by the clothes they wear, right? Since the man is unconscious, I wouldn't be able to glean anything from his speech. Did he have an accent? You know, was he like Hispanic or a German accent? Did he have broken or proper English? Or was it with the southern drawl? Because we all know that how you talk says whether or not you're a good person. What kind of people did he associate with? Who were his friends? Was it folks that we perceive as having a good reputation? Or was it unsavory characters? What was his family background? Because we all know that the company that you keep is what you're known by. And the family which you come from tells us if you're a good person. Also, Jesus, I want to know who beat him and left him bleeding to death. Maybe we need to call a CSI team, even though it's a very old case, but perhaps they can deduce some more facts for us. Like, was he a victim of circumstance, or did he get what he deserved? I'm not trying to pass judgment, but come on, I'm just saying, was he in the wrong place at the wrong time? Or was he doing the wrong thing? Was it gang-related? Was it a hate crime? You know, there always are a couple of bad apples in the police department. Who is to blame for this awful event? Does a local government bear some responsibility? Perhaps the high unemployment of those people and desperation induced those people to commit this crime. Maybe that section of the road to Jericho is the majority of people of color or poverty ridden so that the police don't even respond to that area of the town. You and I want to reason and figure out all the whys and wherefores before we offer to help anyone, including a total stranger. But the more we know enables us to temper and shape our response to this victim's real individual need. We don't want to know this man's personal business for the sake of idle gossip. For the details of certain folks' troubles are readily available from the news or watching TMZ or social media. We need to know because we're being asked, no, employed, to treat this man by the side of the road with compassion and help him. We're asked to use our resources, our treasure, and our time to help this person cursed by an unfortunate situation. Therefore, it is only fair that we get the 411 on this brother. You see, if we can label him or put him into a category, if we can wrap our minds around what kind of person that we think he is, well, then maybe we'll be more motivated to help him. That's just how we operate as human beings, right? It's nothing to be ashamed of, is it? We want to know if he's good people. Do we have something in common with him? Will he show me gratitude, or might I be stuck trying to help him forever? Jesus, I'm sorry, but I need more information if you want me to be a good Samaritan. But Jesus doesn't give us any more specifics, just a few simple facts. The man is robbed, beaten, stripped of his clothes, and left for dead. Maybe Jesus has a personal lesson that I'm just not getting. When I reflect on this story now, I think I understand why Jesus doesn't give us a deeper description of the man hurt by the side of the road. Don't you see that Jesus starts to paint the portrait of this man, but I must finish it? This parable contains a mirror. I am the man hurting by the side of the road. You are the person hurt by the side of the road. You and I can put our own specific details because Jesus is talking about us. You may not admit this, but I will. I've been beaten down by life before. Sometimes by happenstance and sometimes because of my own decisions. I've been messed over before. I've been humiliated. I've been stripped of my pride. I know what it's like to be wounded, hurt, suffering, afflicted, lonely, and not able to help myself. Do you know what that's like? Well, you don't hear me this morning. Has anybody here ever felt helpless when dealing with a horrendous issue? Did your husband leave you? Did that woman move on without you? Did your company downsize and lay you off? Have you been turned down for a job when you needed it the most? Were you ever betrayed by a friend? Rejected, broke, busted, and disgusted? Have you ever suffered from disease or severe illness? And who was responsible for your bad situation? Was it your fault or what somebody else did to you? You see, in the final analysis, none of these details really matter. When you're lying there robbed and beaten and half dead by the side of the road, the only thing important to you is knowing that some help is on the way. When you're hurting, wounded, and alone and cannot fix yourself, it does not matter if you're a teen, a senior, an immigrant, or a suspected enemy is coming to your rescue. You just need to know that help is on the way. You see, this stranger from Galilee named Jesus had compassion on me. He stopped by and helped me. He didn't cross on the other side of the road. I can give you all the details about my rescuer. The prophet Isaiah says he was despised and rejected by men and women, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought justice was upon him. And by his wounds, we were healed. That sounds to me like the original Good Samaritan. Jesus, with all of his resources, all of himself, all of his time, his life on the cross, he gave it to save us. And 3 days later, Jesus got up from his own grave with the resurrection power in his hands. Don't you get it? You and I were the ones lying by the side of the road, hurt. And the Lord gave us loving kindness, mercy, forgiveness, and healed us. Those folks outside of this church, that brother or sister, that lady, that young person, they're hurting by the side of the road. They're just like we once were, without the saving grace of Christ in their life. This is real evangelism. That, to me, is what this parable is all about. We don't need to have the financial resources of the Good Samaritan to make the difference. We do not need to have a degree in theology or have memorized 100 Bible verses or have lived a nearly perfect life to participate in the healing of wounded folks outside of these walls. All we got to do is just tell them about Jesus. And tell them to hold on because help is on the way. All you and I need to do is listen to their story. Hear what happened, how they feel. Then share your experience when you were by the side of the road and how Jesus' stripes healed you. In other words, tell her, tell him, hold on. Help is on the way. Just tell them how you fell down, but God picked you up. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just say when friends and family deserted you, you were not alone. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just share how the Lord comforted you when your loved one died. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just tell them how you failed and God gave you a brand new start. Tell them, hold on. Help is on the way. Just tell them how you messed yourself up many times, but the Lord still forgave you. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just share with them when you were sick, God healed you. Tell them to hold on because help is on the way. Just tell them you were caught in a financial storm, but Jesus brought you through. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just say that during that confusion, that perplexing season of life, the Lord gave you clarity and wisdom and peace. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just sing to them, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Tell them to hold on, because help is on the way. You see, the road to Jericho is in Compton. But that road to Jericho is also in Beverly Hills. That road to Jericho is San Bernardino. But it's also Inglewood. That road to Jericho is Santa Monica and Venice Beach. But it's also West Covina. There are some people with money. There are some folks with no money. There are some persons in between that find themselves hurt, confused, and broken in this life by the side of the road. There are some people of all races and all creeds that are disrespected and disinherited lying by the side of the road. Whoever they are and whatever happened to them, we have the solution. One size fits all. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Tell them that you don't know specifically how the Lord is going to heal their wounds, but just tell them, hold on. Help is on the way. Amen.